Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Three ideas in 30 minutes after our hiatus over the Yom Tovim. Hope everyone had a beautiful Yontif, which I was speaking to my brother just now, and I asked him if he's recovered yet from Yontif. He said, Yontif? That feels like an eternity ago. Tell me about it. It's been a long week. Baruch Hashem. Some of us were in New Orleans helping out with some of the relief efforts in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. But I hope that all of you are well and that you have recovered and that your sleep schedules have recovered. And it's really great to be able to learn with everyone. Yesterday, we had a momentous day here at BRS. It was our first Tehillim class back in person at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday mornings. If anyone is in Boca around the area, you are welcome to join us on Thursday mornings at 9:30 a.m. It will also be streamed live for those who want to join us online. And of course, this class we are committed to keeping online as much as I thought all of you would want to come out on a Friday morning. Online just works a little bit better. So it's great to see everyone, those who have their cameras on. I appreciate it as much as I love looking at your names. I love seeing faces even more. So I appreciate it very much. I do want to thank our sponsors for this morning, sponsored by Sarah and Al Gordon, Joey Newcomb's mom, in the schus of the yurt site, Lili Nishmas, Gittel Bas, David, and Gertrude Rosenkranz, the aunt of Al Gordon. Special thank you to them for their sponsorship this morning. And also, of course, I want to thank our series sponsor as well, anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be in Aliyah for their neshamas. We appreciate the sponsorship very much. If you are interested in sponsoring a future class of either, I was going to say Behind the Bima, of either Three Ideas in 30 Minutes, Tehillim class, please, of course, feel free to be in touch with me, be in touch with anyone in the office, and we would happily arrange that for you. Okay, Three Ideas in 30 Minutes, Parshas Noach. Noach, I always say, is one of my favorite parshas. And I say that about every parsha. But one of the reasons Noach is one of my favorite parshios is because no one is parv on Noach. No one is Switzerland. In fact, when the Red Sox played the Yankees this week. So, you know, it could be that I'm a Red Sox fan and, you know, my colleague is not. So there may have been a little rivalry going on, some trash talking going on various text messages. And people knew that there was a little bit of a, you know, there was a little bit of a divide between the BRS rabbis on this issue. So I got a lot of texts saying, just for the record, I'm Switzerland tonight. No one wanted to pick sides between me and Goldberg. They just wanted to be neutral. So I feel that way with Parshas Noach. No one is neutral when it comes to Noach. Everyone, ask it at your Shabbos table. Everyone has an opinion. When we say Yesh Dorshin L'Shvach and Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai, some people think Noach was a big tzaddik, some people not a big... Everyone has an opinion. Trust me, ask it at your Shabbos table. It will be a very stimulating conversation. So I personally have my own take on Noach, but I'm not going to share that with you here today. Here's what I am going to share with you today. A beautiful, beautiful idea. Something I never noticed, but it's so obvious the second that you notice it. Right after the Mabul, Hashem says the following, Vayarach Adonai es hareach hanichoach. Hashem smells the pleasant odor. Again, Noach had brought a korban. Vayomer Adonai elibo lo osif lekalel od es adama. Hashem says, I'm not going to create further destruction in the world. Why? Bavor hadam ki yetzer lev adam ra min arab. Because a person is evil from his youth. In other words, it's built into human beings. I forgot, Hashem says, that when I created mankind, I created them and they're not perfect. We have jealousy, we have machlokes, we have anger, we have all sorts of things. So Hashem says, ki yetzer lev ha'adam rami na'arav. A person's desires are evil from the time they are a child. So Hashem says, I'm going to cut mankind a little bit of slack. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. I created him and I made him with a yetzer hara and I made him with all these desires. So it's not his fault. That is Hashem's rationale for why it is that he's not going to destroy the world. For those who are looking for that pasuk, it is in Perek 8, chapter 8, verse 21, Chet Chaf Aleph. What's striking about that is Hashem's rationale for why he brought the flood. If you look all the way back to the 6th chapter of Sefer Bereishis, Perek Vav, pasuk Hey, Hashem says, Vayar Adonai, Hashem sees, Kiraba Ra'as Hadam Ba'aretz. Hashem sees that man's wickedness is pervasive around the earth. V'chol Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Kol Hayom. And that he's evil all day. And Hashem says, therefore, I'm going to destroy the world. And the question is so obvious. Wait a second. When Hashem already caused the flood, Hashem says, you know what, I'm not going to bring the flood ever again because it's not mankind's fault. I created them this way. They're only wicked. It's not their fault. But the whole rationale for why Hashem caused the flood was because we're wicked all the time. So which one is it? In other words, is it a bad thing that we have desires in the Yitzhahara and that we're oftentimes make mistakes and shortcomings, and that's the reason the world is worthy of destruction? Or is it a good thing where Hashem says, I can't blame them anymore because it's not their fault? I can't blame them for something that I created them with. It's two psukim bookending the story of the Mabul, and yet they're complete contradictions to one another. In one of them, Hashem says, I'm no longer going to bring punishment amongst a person. Why? Because they're naturally inclined to it, to misbehavior, to desires, it's not their fault, right? So I have to give special understanding to human beings. So I have to be merachim on them. I have to have mercy on them. Ki yitzir lev adam ra min harav, because it's not their fault. They're naturally inclined to it. But two prakim earlier, Hashem says the very reason why I'm going to destroy mankind is because rak rak kol hayom, because they're evil all the time. So which one is it? It's the exact opposite of what Hashem says in the 8th parak. I don't know about you. This is why I love Chumash. I love Chumash. Maybe you guys are bigger tzaddikim. I've learned Chumash. I've learned Parshas Noach probably hundreds of times. Never noticed this. Never noticed this until I saw it this year. And it's such an amazing question, such an amazing insight. We see this elsewhere in Tanakh as well, by the way. So for example, in Parshas Kisisa, Hashem says, Ki am kshe orafata. Hashem, when he gets upset at the Jewish people, and he says, why a malach is going to go, and not me personally, Hashem says, Ki am kshe orafata, because you are a stubborn, stiff-necked people. Yeah, and when Moshe comes to defend the Jewish people, what does he say? Am kshe oraf. He says, you're right, they're a stiff-necked people. It's the exact opposite, once again. Hashem says it's a negative thing. Moshe comes along and says it's a positive thing. So, which one is it? So I saw from my Rabbi Reisman, in the Sefer Tomer Devorah. Rabbi Reisman quotes the Sefer Tomer Devorah, who points out that midos are not binary. It's not that I'm good or I'm bad, but there are circumstances where sometimes something might upset me, and in a different circumstance, something might be very endearing to me. So let's take an easy example. Let's say a joke, right? Someone who makes a joke, a guy who's always making jokes. So if we are in a shiva home, and a guy's making a joke, that's not a very good midah. That's not a very good characteristic to have. That's something that I might tell that person is a little bit inappropriate for that. But let's say we're in a different circumstance and there's like an awkwardness in the room and someone needs to break the awkwardness and that guy comes along and makes the joke. Well, in that instance, the joke is a perfectly great quality to have, and it's actually something that's very beneficial to all of us around it. So when you look at a person, you can look at the exact same characteristic. And in one circumstance, it might be annoying and bothersome. And in another circumstance, it might be a beautiful contribution. In one circumstance, you might see a certain set of behaviors as a failure. And in a different set of circumstances, you might see that as an accomplishment. Stubbornness is the easiest example, which is why I brought that. Because sometimes stubbornness is really annoying, right? We all know that person who sometimes you're getting an argument with, you're trying to convince them of something, or perhaps, never happens in my house, but you're trying to get the kids out of the house, and your daughter sits there and says, I don't want these shoes, I want the other shoes, and she won't budge from there, right? Stubbornness in certain circumstances is not a very positive thing. It makes you want to strangle yourself. On the other hand, stubbornness in other circumstances is a beautiful thing, right? You have a teenage child, and everyone's pressuring the teenager to do one thing, and the teenager is stubborn and says, no, I'm not going to do it, it's not the right thing, I'm not going to cave in. Then, it's a beautiful midah. It's a beautiful characteristic to have. So when Hashem talks about Jewish people being Am Kshei Oref, yeah, because to Hashem at that moment in time, the stubbornness was a bad characteristic. And Moshe comes along and says, yeah, but that same midah of stubbornness, that same characteristic of stubbornness, Hashem, is going to come in very handy throughout 2,000 years of exile. It's going to come in very handy as people try to assimilate us, and we Jews are stubborn and say we refuse to assimilate. So says Rabbi Reisman, quoting the Tomer Devorah, this is exactly this Yetzer Lev Hadam Ra Min Harav. Right? When you look at a person, there are two ways to look at the person. In one set of circumstances, that characteristic, that behavior might upset you. And in another set of circumstances, you might have mercy on that midah, on that characteristic. It's the exact same thing. But human beings are not black or white. Right? We're not binary. We like things to be cut and dry, but it's not always like that. Life is not always so clear. And that's the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to, is telling us. Hashem is saying that that same midah that bothered me before the Mabul, I'm learning to accept after the Mabul, because I'm going to try to see the good in people despite the fact that they have this characteristic. And so what bothered Hashem previously is now actually the source of Hashem's mercy after the Mabul. Midos characteristics are not binary. They're not one or the other. They're not black or white, but sometimes it's circumstantial. In one circumstance, it'll bother you. In another circumstance, it might be a cause of your mercy, of your rachamim on that other person. Says Rabbi Reisman, that is how you understand this discrepancy of why what bothered Hashem pre-Mabul is actually the source of Hashem's mercy post-Mabul, because people change and circumstances change and the way we interpret characteristics change as well. I think it's a beautiful question. I think it's an interesting answer, and I think it definitely has a message for every single one of us. That is idea number one that I wanted to share with you this morning. Idea number two comes from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes writes the following. So we know, Noach ich tzadik tamim haya bedorosav, es Elohim es halach Noach. As I said earlier, no one is parav about Noach. And we know the Rashi says, yesh dorshim l'mishvach, and yesh dorshim l'gnai. There's some people who understand this in a positive, and there's some people who understand this in the negative. Rashi goes on to say, what does it mean, asher his halachti lefanav, that Avram walked before me. Says Rashi, Noach hayet sarich sad l'tomcho. Noach needed support. Aval Avram hayem mitzchazek mahalech betzidko me'elav. Avram didn't need any support. Right? Avram was an initiator, a religious entrepreneur. He didn't need anyone else to support him. Noach needed the support. Right? Parenthetically, the Shemin HaTov, I wasn't going to share this, but if you look in the Shemin HaTov, he has a whole piece on this. And he says, yeah, to this day, there are Noachs and there are Avrams. There are those people that need the infrastructure. They need to be in a community with a kolel and with minyanim every 5 minutes. And unless they have that structure to support them, they're not going to be religiously successful. And then there are those Avrams. There are people who can go to Wichita or Kansas or, you know, they can go anywhere, right? And no matter where they are, they could be the 10th man, but they'll be fine. They have the fortitude and the backbone to be able to maintain their Judaism. So says the Shemin HaTov, you see that to this day. There are Noachs and there are Avrams. There are Jews that need the infrastructure and there are Jews that don't need that infrastructure. But none of that is the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes quotes a Medrash, which is very hard to understand. Sfas Emes says, Gimel Metzios Matzal Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem finds three things. And what are those three things? He finds Avram, he finds the Jewish people, and he finds David. Says the Medrash, V'aksiv Noach Matzachin. What do you mean? How could it not mention Noach? Didn't Noach find favor in God's eyes? Says the Medrash, something unbelievable. Who Matzah? V'akadosh Baruch Hu L'matzah. Noach may have found God, but God did not find Noach. Who Matzah? Noach found God, V'akadosh Baruch Hu L'matzah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't find Noach. So ask this Sfas Emes, what in the world does that mean? V'noach matza chein, that Hashem found chein in God's eyes, but that God didn't find, what didn't God find about Noach? What did Noach find about God? Says the Sfas Emes, a beautiful, beautiful insight. He says there was a fundamental difference between Noach and Avram. Noach believed that the way to approach Hashem, the way to connect in the most intimate and meaningful and deep way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is by transcending this world. It's by elevating yourself to an angelic-like existence. He says, Loach, lo yitin in kol kach b'mashinasa be'olam ha'gashmi. Noach was not interested as much with finding God in this world. Rather, be'ikar sam elibo l'shorish ha'olam ha'elyonim. He said, let me go straight to the heavens. Let me find God directly in the heavens. But, says the Sfas Emes, that was his mistake. Right, chelak maasi shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu zeh shekarach b'olam hazeh lo haya be'inav ela chashuv mishnit. This world was insignificant to Noach. This world didn't mean anything. It wasn't even a means to an end. Right, the end was simply transcending this world, rising yourself up above this world to experience that angelic existence with God. Says this Sfas Emes, that is what it means. That Noach found God. Noach was able to go up and find God. But what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo matza? That Hashem, who our job is to bring him into this world. So when Hashem comes into this world, he didn't find Noach. Because Noach was not osek in this world. Noach was not involved in this world. He says, Mashal ki ilu adam hu bebeso. If a person is in his house, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba levakro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit that person, umote oso. So hopefully God's going to find that person in my house. Heicha nitan lomar she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzo oso. Where was God going to find Noach? Rak ba'olam hazeh, ba'olam ha'gashmi. Right, God wants to find Noach in this world. Our purpose is not to transcend this world, to remove ourselves from this world. Quite the opposite, says the Sfas Emes. Our job is to create a dira batachtonim, to create a dwelling place for God in this world. And so God doesn't look for us up in the heavens. Hashem looks for us here in this earth. That when we perform mitzvos, that when we create Kiddush Hashem, that's where God finds us in this earth. And so Noach says, this Sfas Emes makes a mistake, which is that Noach thinks you find God only by going up there. Noach finds him, but God doesn't find Noach. Because when God comes into this earth and he's looking for that dira betachtonim, he's looking for that dwelling place in this earth, Noach is nowhere to be found. Noach's not involved in this world. Noach has removed himself from this world. Noach has transcended this world. Who is different than Noach in this regard? None other than Avram Avinu. Says the Sfas Emes, that Avram Avinu masar es nafsho ad shegilas Hashem yisbarach ba'olam ha'gashmi. What made Avram so unique? Was it? I know my mom's listening. So unique is a redundancy. Okay. What made Avram unique? Yeah, so unique. You can't be so unique. If you're unique, you're by definition so unique. There's nothing, okay, anyways. Right? What makes Avram so incredible? You could all text my mom and ask her why that bothers her. Right? What makes Avram unique is that Avram finds Hashem in this world. He reveals God, be'olam ha'gashmi, in our physical world. Hichnis orchim, he invites guests. Gamal chesed, he does chesed. Right? He starts converting Jews all over the place. Hashem finds Avram in this world. Noach is only up in the heavens. That's not what Hashem's looking for, though. Right? Gimel, Metzios, Matzal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem finds Avram Avinu, because when he comes into this world, he sees the consequences of Avram's actions. He sees the fruits of Avram's labor. But who Matza? Noach might find God, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu lo Matza. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes in this world, he says, where's Noach? Where's the imprint of Noach? Where's his influence to be felt? Where his orchim, and where's his chesed, and where's his biker cholim? And I don't see any of it. To me, this Sfas Emes is so fundamental, and it is so important for us to realize that Hashem does not expect us to be otherworldly. Hashem does not expect us to be angelic. Hashem does not expect us to rise above this physical world. Quite the opposite. Every mitzvah, the most important mitzvahs that we are required to perform, are here in this world. And they're so simple. Visiting a sick person, doing chesed, checking up on someone, inviting guests. Those are very worldly things. And Hashem says, that is what I want to find when I come into this world. All of that Kiddush Hashem and all of that chesed, all of those mitzvahs that are all physical in nature, that is what I want to find. I was talking to someone yesterday, was going through a conversion process at BRS. I asked them, I said, what is it that drew you to Orthodoxy? Right? You're Christian. He says, Rabbi. He goes, the laws appeal to me. He says, creating God physically in this world, in other words, creating through our physical actions, he goes, that's what speaks to me. Christian, just being nice. I don't have to do anything. There are no expectations. There are no obligations. Just be a good person. Right? He goes, Torah has mitzvos that connect to it. He goes, I love that. Every mitzvah is I'm taking my whole body and I'm performing the mitzvah. I'm shaking the lulav and I'm blowing the shofar and I'm inviting a guest over. He goes, I love the mitzvos so much. I love getting physically involved in the mitzvos. I thought that was interesting, but that's the Avram approach. The Avram approach says we don't transcend the world, but we bring God into this world. Hu matza? Noach may have found God, but when God comes into this world, hu lo matza? He did not find Noach because he did not feel his influence. He didn't feel his imprint. Noach was only obsessed with getting above the world. Hashem says, no, I want you to create mitzvos and bring me into this world. Beautiful insight of the Sfas Emes. So idea number one was the difference of what happened before the Mabul, after the Mabul, Ki Yetzer Adam Ra Rak Min Arav, that he's only bad. Hashem says that as a gnai, as a denigration beforehand, but afterwards that's the reason for the rachamim. Says Rabbi Reisman, yeah, that's exactly it. Sometimes something bothers us, and sometimes it's the source of our mercy, and we have to understand that people aren't black and white, and circumstances are gray, and sometimes midos, if they're channeled properly, can either be a good thing, and if they're not channeled properly, then it could be catastrophic. That was idea number one. Idea number two came from this beautiful Sfas Emes. Hu matza, Noach finds God, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu lo matza, Hashem does not find him. Now, I can't leave you with a sour taste in your mouth about Noach, because I can't tip my hand about whether I'm in Noach's camp or against Noach's camp. I said everyone has a very strong opinion, but I'm not going to let you know mine, right? Because that's what rabbis do. We're parv sometimes, right? But here we go. I can't leave you with a sour taste in your mouth about Noach. So I gotta redeem Noach. We said on the Yom Ha'Raim an amazing thing. In the middle of Zichronos, when we're talking to Hashem about remembering all of our great zchuyos, what do we say? We say Ve'yizkor Elokim es Noach. We say Vigam es Noach. I forgot the exact word. I don't have it in front of me. Right? Vigam es Noach. Right? You're also going to remember Noach. Right? Why does Hashem need to remember Noach? Why is that? Like, why does Hashem need to remember Noach's schusim in order for Noach to have been saved from the Mabul? L'chora, if Noach was a righteous person, if he didn't sin, and he didn't deserve punishment, so why is it that Noach's zechuyos needed to be remembered? What is it exactly that Hashem was remembering, and what exactly is that remembrance that we're remembering on Rosh Hashanah? Right? What exactly about Noach are we invoking on Rosh Hashanah, and why exactly did Noach need to be remembered for that to be saved from the Mabul? Rav Pam quotes in his Atar Lamelech a beautiful insight. He says that Noach finds, right, what was Noach's midah? What was Noach's defining characteristic? Right? Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. Then Noach finds favor in God's eyes. And yet, we know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, quotes the Atar Lamelech, says, Af al Noach nachtecha gezar din, that Noach deserved to be punished as well. Ela shematzachein. The only reason he was saved was because shematzachein. Because he found chein in the eyes of Hashem. Now, we have discussed this word chein in different contexts because it's a very hard word to translate. What does it mean to have chein? So we might know intuitively, you might meet someone and be like, ah, that person has a certain chein. But define the word chein. It's a very hard definition to come up with. What does it mean to have chein? So Rav Pam quotes the Sefer HaCharedim. The Sefer HaCharedim says that somebody who does not get angry, that's what it means to find chein in the eyes of God. Someone who is a savlan, someone who is peaceful with his fellow man, someone he's easygoing, he's an easy person, he doesn't get angry very easily, right? That type of person, that is how you define the characteristic of chein. And so when it means when Noach matza chein, it means when Noach comes home and he finds that his kids are going bonkers and they're throwing food all over the place, he doesn't get upset. He didn't get angry. When Noach came to Shul and the guy didn't give him an aliyah, it's okay. He doesn't get angry at people. He's forgiving. He's easygoing. He doesn't get upset about everything. He's a savlan. He's easygoing. That, says the Sefer HaCharedim, is what it means to have chein. V'Noach matza chein meant that Noach was easygoing like that. That Noach had that midah of savlanut. He wasn't always angry. He was a very patient person. Now we understand, by the way, the Gemara, where the Gemara describes what life was like for Noach in the Teva. Noach was not on a cruise ship. He was not on a Disney cruise, right? He was working day and night. He had to feed the animals constantly. It was hard work, back-breaking work. Each animal had a very specific menu that Noach had to cater to, right? So why does God make it so difficult for Noach? The answer is because God was giving him more zchusim. The whole reason Noach survived was because of his patience, because he did not get angry. And so therefore, the entire time in the Teva, Noach was zoche. The zchus that he had was his savlanus. In other words, Hashem gives him constant zechuyos, constant protection throughout the entire Mabul, because every time Noach was patient with another animal, Hashem said, ah, you're worthy of being saved another minute. So when we say Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, that Hashem remembers Noach, what is he remembering Noach for? He's remembering Noach's savlanut. He's remembering Noach's patience. He's remembering that Noach didn't get frustrated and upset at the animals, even when the animals were acting out and didn't really deserve it. Noach was patient with them. That's why we invoke it on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we invoke it on Rosh Hashanah, says Rapam. Because on Rosh Hashanah, right, when we say, V'gam es Noach be'ava zacharta, that's the pasuk, right? What we're saying to Hashem is, we don't deserve it. We're like those animals in the Teva, right? Noach didn't deserve to be saved, but he had one midah. And that is that he was patient with other people. And so we come before Hashem and we say, Hashem, right? And Zichronos on the Yom HaDin, Noach may not have deserved it, and we might not have deserved it. But we ask for the Zchus in the Midah of Savlanut. That on Rosh Hashanah, we're all getting along and no one's fighting and we all make peace with one another. In the merit of that, Hashem, in the merit of that, should we all be saved? Such an important, first of all, it's a beautiful insight, but it's such an important thing to think about. Whenever we talk about having rachamei shamayim, we need mercy from Hashem, and we need Yeshuas Hashem, and we need mercy, and we're always looking for skulos, and if I say nishmas for 40 days straight, and if I bake, put a key in my challah, whatever, right? We're all looking for zchuyos, and we're all looking for skulos. But sometimes it's important to remember it's right in front of our face. V'noach matzah chein b'nei Hashem. Noach was not worthy of being saved, except for one midah. And that's the midah of chein. It's the midah of savlanut. It's being easygoing. It's not getting so angry at other people. It's not being a kapdan. It's not getting aggravated so easily. By the way, this is not easy. My mom is on here. She'll tell you. It's not exactly something I always excel at. I have my moments. We all have our moments. But it's something we aspire for. It's a reminder that you want a skula when you need rachamei shamayim. You want a skula when you're going through a difficult time. V'noach matzah chein. Noach found chein in the eyes of Hashem. Noach was a savlan. Noach was easygoing. He didn't get aggravated. He didn't get upset about over every little thing. And that merit alone, he didn't say nishmas for 40 days. And right? Again, it's all beautiful. But in that merit alone, Noach was deserving of being saved from the most vicious form of destruction this world ever knew. So when we need rachamei shamayim, mir tashem we shouldn't need. But when we as a tzibor, or when we as individuals need rachamei shamayim, right? It's important to remember v'noach matzachein, that the place to start is by building a reservoir of chein, to not get angry, to not get in fights, to not stop speaking to not get all agitated, to not get all upset, but sometimes to work on our patience, to sometimes work on not getting as upset, to sometimes work on v'noach matzachein. So we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. I thought they were nice ideas. I hope you did as well. The first idea is the discrepancy, where Hashem says, you're only bad, and that's why I'm going to destroy you. And then Hashem says, you're only bad, and that's why I'm going to have mercy on you. Yeah. Sometimes that same characteristic in one circumstance is the cause of frustration, and in another circumstance, it's the cause for mercy. Our midos, our characteristics, are not binary. We should recognize that and lean into that. Idea number two came from the Sfas Emes. Beautiful idea. That hu matzah, Noach finds Hashem because he scales to the heavens. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu lo matzah, but Hashem doesn't find Noach. Because when he comes into this world, he doesn't see his influence. He doesn't see how he has brought God into this world. And so Hashem says, that's not what I want. I want the Avram paradigm. Through your mitzvos, and through your Bikur Cholim, and through your chesed, and through, that's what I want to see. I want to see mitzvos here in this world. That's how you bring God into this world, through our physical mitzvos. Idea number three was the beautiful insight of Rapam. Rapam says, V'noach matzah chein. What does it mean, Noach found chein? What does the word chein mean? So the Sefer HaCharedim said that the word chein means savlanut. It means you're not getting angry. It means you're easy with people. It means you're Noach labrios. That is something that we can work on. And if we work on that, mir tashem, the same way Noach was worthy of rachamei shamayim as a result of that one midah. So whatever it is that we need in our life, whatever rachamim, whatever Yeshua we need, let's spend this Shabbos working on chein, working on not getting as upset, working on being just a little bit more easygoing, working on not getting frustrated over every little thing. V'noach matzah chein, in the zchus of our chein, we should be zoche all to Yeshua Hashem, Karev Ayin, in a beautiful, wonderful Shabbos. for us and our families. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.